The law office of Trevor Carson opened on time and proceeded as if nothing was amiss. Wes and Chap busied themselves by going through the few drawers and files they had not yet inspected. Nothing of consequence was found. Another crew combed every inch of Trevor's house, primarily looking for the cash he had been paid. Not surprisingly, they didn't find it. The cheap briefcase was in a closet, empty. There was no trail. Trevor had just walked away with his cash. The Bahamian banking official was tracked to New York, where he was visiting on government business. Around 1 p.m., it was confirmed that the money had been moved. Its owner had done so in person, and the official would divulge nothing else. His country's banking reputation depended upon secrecy, and he could reveal only so much. He was corrupt, but he did have his limits. U.S. Customs cooperated after some initial reluctance. Trevor's passport had been scanned at Nassau International early that morning, and so far he had not left the Bahamas, at least not officially. His passport was red-listed. If he used it to enter another country, U.S. Customs would know it within 2 hours. DeVille delivered a quick update to Teddy and York, his fourth of the day, then hung around for further instructions. "We need someone inside the prison," Teddy said. "We're close," DeVille answered. "Do it now." DeVille left, again with the burden of a difficult task that suddenly had to be done overnight. "We have to find out how much they know," Teddy said, almost in a mumble.
"Yes, but we have no reason to believe they suspect anything," York said. "I've read all their mail. There's nothing to indicate they're particularly excited about Conyers. He's just one of their potential victims."
"We bought the lawyer to stop him from snooping around behind Conyers' post office box.
He's off in the Bahamas now, drunk with his money, so he's not a threat."
"But we still dispose of him," Teddy said. It was not a question.
"Of course."
"I'll feel better when he's gone," Teddy said.